Welcome to the Revolutionary Health Podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Center. I am a licensed clinician in search of how to live a meaningful and healthy life. I challenge both traditional and functional medicine ideologies in search of truth and wisdom. I allow room for curiosity and always keep an open mind. I enjoy deep conversations with my guests, giving them a safe space to share their research and personal observation, as I feel both equally contribute to the body of knowledge and human experience. Note that the opinions of my guests do not always reflect my own, whether I share that openly or not. And of course, the podcast is for educational purposes only. We do not offer medical advice. So grab a cup of coffee and join me for some intimate and unique discussions about finding wellness in the 21st century. Welcome, Deanna. So today, everybody, we are going to do a different type of show. I am interviewing Deanna. She is somebody that I've worked with for the past several months, and I feel like she has a story that's really relatable to listeners in terms of her health journey, how she approached, you know, finding answers to what she had going on through a traditional medicine route. And then when that didn't work for her, seeking alternative options. And I feel like that's the place that a lot of you listening are in right now, where you've been to countless doctors, you've tried different prescription medications, and the problem is still there. So I thought it would be helpful to just share some client stories. So Deanna is my first client story. I'm so happy you're here. I really have loved getting to know you and support you through healing. So yeah, I'll kind of open the floor up to you to introduce yourself. And then I have some questions for you.
That's good. Such a big difference from where we started back. I guess I found you in what, September? And I'll just kind of dive into kind of what led me to you, how I found you, and kind of what led me to that, and then kind of what our journey has looked like since then. I think for me, really, I think with a lot of issues that people have, I think it starts long before the symptoms actually start showing up. My first biggest symptom, when I kind of go back and look at things, was in 2019. I had this horrible pain in my left side. It was right under my ribs. And that was kind of the first thing for me. I always pay attention to things, you know, so when that came up, I'm like, that's weird. I wonder that's new. I wonder why that's here. And I just, you know, kind of always had it in the back of my head, but then I kind of just went on. And so that was the first thing that started in 2019. I didn't have anything else show up until June of 2020. I had gone on vacation and I came back and I had this horrible UTI. If you know, you know, it was awful. And so for me, that was, you know, the second thing. Still had the left side pain. It had been going on for about a year pretty consistently. But then with the additional, you know, adding on the UTI at that point. So I was like, okay, something else. And so with UTI, that's something you can't just let, you know, play out. You have to address it immediately. So went to my primary care doctor, got an antibiotic, you know, came back and went about my day. It kept lingering for weeks into a few months. And so then came like August of that same year. And so I still had it. And so she's like, you know what? We can't clear it. I'm going to refer you out to a urologist. So now I'm seeing a urologist. I've also at that point added in a gastro doctor because I'm at that point, it's like, okay, I've had this side pain lingering for a year. You know, I want to go ahead and address that too. You know, and then we're in the middle of COVID as well. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and this is going to be my year where I'm going to focus on my health and address these things. That August, I'm seeing a urologist and I'm seeing, she says I have overactive bladder and I had, you know, of course, still the UTI. I see a gastro doctor. He wants to do a colonoscopy. And then he says I have IBS. And so I'm okay. You know, we've got some answers. Let's address that and move on. So, and I won't bore you with all of the details that goes on specialist after specialist after specialist, but I think it's important because I think when you do start having symptoms, there's a bigger issue and it goes back to that root cause. And I think it just showed up and it was the perfect, I don't want to say the perfect storm, but it was the perfect storm for me. It was kind of my map. Mm-hmm. And so I had that. I've always struggled with anxiety. I had my first panic attack when I was in fifth grade. I'll never forget it. You know, I've had good years, I've had bad, but in the middle of all this in 2020, it was different. So the anxiety was there. I started having heart palps. I don't really remember that. You know, maybe I had that, you know, before the anxiety, but this was so different. And again, I think these things are very important because it's part mm-hmm. of the story. Still fighting these UTIs months later. I think to myself, maybe I need to do a detox. You know, maybe I just need to do a detox. And so I end up doing this like 21-day fix in the middle of it. I was day 16, had followed it to a T out of 21 days, and I end up vomiting everywhere. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I just can't keep nothing down. You know, I'm eating healthy. I'm doing this. Like, I don't understand why, you know, I'm having this issue. And so then I think, well, maybe it's food poisoning. So it could have been. And that was October of that same year. Then I end up reaching out to my primary care doctor, and I'm like, you know what, let's just do a full blood panel. I'm going through all the steps, right? You know, all the steps that I guess you would assume that you would need to do to figure out if there is something wrong. And I'm thinking, is it the pandemic? Is it, you know, is that why I'm having all of these issues? Am I just stressed? And so I keep going back to that. And so I go to my primary care doctor. We do a full blood panel. I'm anemic. And then she runs my ferritin level. And I remember I was really stuck on that because she was very concerned about it. My ferritin was 4.5. And I remember when I came to you and I was so stuck, and I remember you kind of like asked me, why are you so stuck on ferritin? And I think because you had so much knowledge that I didn't have at that time. And so, you know, educating myself and kind of reaching out, but for me, it was an answer. I didn't care what it was at that point. I felt so bad. Wanted an answer. And so for me, that was the only thing that I could cling to. I clung to that. And then she referred me out to a hematologist. So now I'm seeing a hematologist. I add in a cardiologist because of the heart palps. And that was December of 2020. Come January of 2021, I start my iron infusions. He had scheduled me for 3. Back to my gynecologist, you know, following up with her, finding out if it could be something there. I had even mentioned, you know, maybe checking my hormones. And it was kind of like, why would I do that? And then I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have asked. So I kind of, you know, don't bring it up again. Mm-hmm. You know, and nothing negative, it's just different. And so I have always had this interest in functional medicine. And so I had some of these things in the back of my mind, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, God, all of these doctors, all of these specialists, all of these appointments, I wish somebody could just fix, you know, like from the ground up almost. If I could just see one person that could just be total body, the host system, wouldn't that be a dream? And I'm just like thinking all these things in my head. You know, I end up finally getting up the nerve to do my colonoscopy. I did that. He did find H. pylori. And so again, I'm like, okay, maybe that's it. You know, maybe that's it. And so that's another answer I have. I can, you know, add that to the list. And so we start treating that. I'm on tons of antibiotics. Back up to January of that same year, I tested for another UTI and got the UTI, still an issue. You know, the heart palps are still an issue. I get to the point to where I can't even go up and down a staircase. And that's kind of back to that December when I added in the cardiologist. My heart's just out of whack. I can just feel it outside my skin. Like it's almost like it just beats so fast and so hard. You can feel it on the outside. Yeah. And that brings on the anxiety. I've added in a psychiatrist at this point because I'm like, maybe my anxiety is so out of control that I need to talk to someone. I've put this off since, you know, I was in fifth grade and I've never really addressed it with a psychiatrist. Let me add that. So I'm seeing, you know, all of these at the same time, all of these different doctors. March, I started having, of 2021, I started having tinnitus, or is it tinnitus? I know people say it, you know, both ways. The ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
I got a cold, a head cold that I fought for 10 months consistently. Then back to the H. pylori, I treated that, still on antibiotics for the UTIs. I think throughout the whole year and a half of seeing all these specialists, I took 14 rounds of different things and I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. And every time I would finish something, everybody would tell me, you're fine. Your blood work's normal. You're fine. It's just anxiety. Have you considered, you know, anxiety medication? And I don't know why, you know, it's great for some people, but for me, I just didn't want to add another medicine. I didn't want to mask another symptom. So I started digging in. I started doing research. And it is. It's so much information out there. And I have learned my mind is in such a different place from where it was even when I first met you, because it's so overwhelming. And you start researching and you start trying to figure things out. All I had were my symptoms. Everything I researched, I was the textbook for all of it. And I'm like, how could I be the textbook for everything? You know, how could I have all of these different things? So anyway, I saw a post from a boss that I previously had. She had done some food sensitivity tests with you. And it was something about, you know, I love a good recommendation or some, you know, something that, you know, somebody's used that I'm familiar with. And I loved and respected her, still do to this day. And I said, you know what, I'm going to reach out to Stephanie and just see where it goes. It can't hurt, right? I'm not really getting anywhere. I'm getting, you know, worse. I felt by the day, could hardly function. I still worked full time. I've got three girls. I just wanted my energy back. I wanted my life back. And I could not function. I couldn't do even the basic things. Some days I didn't even want to get out of bed, but I had to because I didn't have a choice. So I reached out to you and you were the sweetest thing in the world. And I just felt I could relate to you. I just felt a connection for some reason, whatever it is. And I don't know if it was just because somebody was actually listening to me. When I told you my story, you know, there was a point of me that was like, what if she can't help me? What if I'm just too big of an issue and she can't? And you were like, no, I think you'd be a good candidate. And we jumped in almost immediately and, you know, started testing. And I think it was October. We did the GI map and then dove into that. And whenever we got the test results back, I was so relieved because we found the answer. And for me, it was like any answer I got at that point, you know, you just think, oh my gosh, it's going to be the worst thing in the world if I find out I have this or if I have that. But for me, it was a relief. In any of it, even when I saw the specialist, it was little things along the way. I'm like, okay, this is it. That's my answer. You know, let's start fixing it, because you have to really know what you're doing before, or what you're dealing with before you can fix it or come up with a solution. You know, and I don't mind. I'm very open because I think it can help someone. I don't mind telling what my results were because they were pretty significant. And I want you to keep in mind, because I think it's important to everyone listening, that I had seen all these specialists for some a year and up to a year and a half. I had just been cleared in August from the gastro doctor. I had done two rounds of antibiotics. I think my second one was like 260 pills that I took with the what is it? A proton pump inhibitor. Am I saying that right?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It was brutal.
You were given like a really bad, for everything you had going on, the things that you were given, I feel like didn't help you. They weren't helpful things. And in fact, they could make some things worse.
I think they did. I do for sure.
But I want to ask you about, because you did see a lot of specialists, and I just want to know your experience. Did those specialists communicate with one another to tell the story of what was happening in your body? You know, did the gastroenterologist communicate with the psychiatrist? Did they all communicate with each other?
None of them communicated with one another. My hematologist, I do know that my hematologist, when I went and saw him, ferritin levels, he kept saying, you're bleeding from somewhere. And so I told him, you know, that I had seen a gastro doctor for the left side pain. That was the first thing that happened. And I told him, you know, I hadn't followed up and he'd recommended a colonoscopy. Well, it probably wasn't even a week later, my gastro doctor calls me and he's like, a little birdie called me. Come to find out, it was my hematologist.
Oh, that's good.
That was really cool, you know, that he did that. But you know, he reached out and he's like, I think you need to do this. And everything ended up coming back fine. The only thing they ever found was glory. But yeah, I thought that was really cool that he did that. He reached out.
Yeah. So you don't see that too often. And that's one of the unfortunate things about when you pursue the traditional medicine route is we have all these specialists, which on the one hand is fantastic because the human body is so complex. How great is it that we have someone that can specialize in this tiny part? At the same time, nothing happens in your body in isolation. It's not like you can separate your kidney from the rest of your body, and what's happening in your kidney isn't affecting everything else. And I think we lose sight of that in the traditional medicine field. And you were also given some pretty intense treatments. multiple rounds of antibiotics, proton pump inhibitors. I think we've talked about them and how, you know, those were introduced. I don't quote me on this. I think 1989 is when they were introduced, and they were only supposed to be used for about 2 weeks because they can hurt you if you use them long-term. And now I feel like we're just handing them out like M&Ms, and people don't realize that it's not that old. I don't think 1989 is that old of a drug. At least I was born around that time, so I don't feel like it's that old. Maybe it is. And also, you know, if those were the guidelines originally, why have we wandered away from those guidelines, and how is that affecting the population? You had H. pylori, right? And so there's a story to be told there between those two products, between PPIs and H. pylori. And I think that if you are using them longer than they're intended to, it can exacerbate some problems. So I think that that's a really good distinction. And the fact that you spent a couple of years on this merry-go-round, right? Without feeling, and I wanted to ask you too, when you spoke with all of these doctors, did you feel listened to? Did you feel validated in your concerns? Or did you feel like you were told, I mean, you were given a diagnosis that I feel like is not, like IBS is not a real diagnosis. That's a code for, I don't know what to tell you have, and I got to call it something. So I'm just kind of wondering how you felt about, you know, your was your voice heard?
You know, I almost felt crazy. I did. I almost felt in my head. I can't tell you along the way how many specialists recommended that I get on some antidepressants or, you know, what.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like I said, you know, I've taken them in the past. It didn't work for me. And it's not something I didn't want to add that to the pound of medicines, I guess I should say, being added with every additional specialist that I added to the list. And I wasn't getting any better. I was only getting worse. So no. And when I had recommendations, if I would read something and I would say, hey, let's check this, you know, why would we do that? Why would we run that? Why that? And I'm like, oh, maybe I don't. You're right. Maybe I don't, because I didn't have, you know, the education to back it up. I didn't know, you know, I was just like throwing out a recommendation and I was trusting them because they were the specialist, and they give a lot of great, you know, feedback and a lot of great information for certain things. In my situation, it just didn't work. And I don't know if it is the lack of communication because, you know, this person's doing this and that person's doing this, or I don't know that they connect all the dots. And I was very informative with every visit on, you know, this is where I'm at. This is what's happened prior. This is what's worked and this is what hasn't. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's something I can relate to. I mean, when I was going through my mold issue, my biggest symptoms were GI, and I went to multiple GI specialists, just to be told, like, they'd look me up and down. I'm like 5'3". Not even 110 pounds. And they look at me and say, oh, you're healthy. What are you doing here? Like, your stomach isn't that bloated. Like, maybe you just look like that. And I just kind of wanted to scream a little bit, like, you're not listening to me. When I tell you there's a problem, like, I didn't take half a day off work to come here to pretend like there's a problem. And colonoscopies are great for some things. I feel like they are overused. I don't feel like, you know, the main problems that we found, and we'll talk about your GI map here in a minute, those aren't things you can detect on a colonscope, because that's really just a camera. They're just looking for physical things. And usually when you have stuff going on in the gut, it's microscopic, it's bacteria. And you're not going to see that with the type of equipment that they use. Plus, they're just looking at the colon. They're not looking at the small intestine. And I think a lot of people's problems are actually in the small intestine. And that's a little harder to treat. And it's also more common in my experience with people that have chronic issues. So yeah, I wanted to make that distinction too. So what made you ultimately decide, okay, I'm ready for a new approach. I'm over this. Like, what was your tipping point?
I think for me, it was, I felt horrible. And I had made this commitment to myself where, you know, this is the year I'm going to focus on my health. I'm not going to keep letting things linger. It's obviously getting worse. Whatever it takes, whatever I have to do, I'm going to figure it out. I would spend hours and hours and hours a day researching. My husband would research, you know, trying to figure something out. There's got to be an answer. Somebody else you know, there's not a whole lot. I mean, there are, but it's so cumbersome out there. There's not, you know, that one story that may just exactly mirror you. And I think maybe they have other issues going on. I think with me, and I am very in tune to my body as well. I notice things. Something's off. I'm like, something's off. This isn't, and then I'll go back and I'll question it. You know, is it just me, you know, stressing about this situation? And now that I have gone through this process with you, I will never question anything again when it comes to my health, because there was a reason why I felt and experienced every single thing that I did. And I knew that in my gut, it told me, keep going, keep going, keep researching. Do not accept this answer. And so we really have to be advocates for ourselves.
Yes.
And thank goodness for me that I do have, that is one of the greatest things. I have that intuition. I'm not going to stop. I've got that drive. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to find the answer. And that's what it was like with me in this situation.
Yeah. I will say, like, you do have really good intuition, really good. Like, you are gifted at listening to your body. And I love that about you, because I feel like so many people lose that. I feel like we all sort of, I think we all have it. We're all born with it. But then we become so used to feeling like crap for so long that we lose sight of ourselves. And then we don't know, like, when you don't feel good at baseline, it's hard to know what feels off. But I want to say something, because you mentioned that you had anxiety as a child, but this was different.
So different. I knew it was different.
Yeah. So you were able to recognize that this, this isn't the same type of anxiety. This is, and I think, so a lot of people that I work with have this anxiety, and I even experienced this myself with mold. Waking up at 3 a.m. feeling super anxious, like almost like a panic attack. I don't even know if that's what it was, but that's what it felt like to me in the moment. And it's like, I think that anxiety a lot of times is your body saying something's wrong, pay attention to me, which is very different from the fifth grade anxiety that I think that's a different sort of thing. And I like that you say, you know, there's a time and a place. There's totally a time and a place and an appropriate usage for anxiety medication. Nobody's doubting that here. But to say you have this new onset, it's a different kind of anxiety. It's a different anxiousness, a different feeling. And just to be told, we'll take anxiety meds. It's like, well, no, that's not going to fix my problem, because my anxiety is here to tell me something's wrong. And if I don't listen to that, if I just ignore it, I'm just going to further myself away from that intuition.
Yep. I was so proud of my body. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm like, wow, our bodies are amazing. And they tell a story. You just have to listen. And I think sometimes with society, it is separate. You know, it's like, you're supposed to feel this way. You're supposed to be tired, you know, or maybe, you know, you've got a lot going on, you know, it's stress, but it was different. And
yeah.
I don't know that I can explain it. Maybe, you know, as time goes on, I'll be able to explain it better, but it was just different. And I just knew that there was something going on. There was something, and I could not make sense of why no one could find it until I met you. So,
so we did an initial intake where I like to know everything about you, from like, were you a C-section baby or vaginal birth? Cause that tells me about your gut flora, to like, what'd you do yesterday? I like to know all of those things, because they tell the story of, you know, people generally can tell you what's wrong with them if you just listen, if you just take the time to listen. And I think, you know, another limitation of traditional medicine is you don't have that. You don't have time. You have 6 to 15 minutes with a doctor, maybe. And usually if you're anything like me, you're nervous and you're forgetting what you're going to say. And as soon as you leave, you're like, oh, I should have mentioned these five things, you know, and you're trying to like beat the clock, essentially getting these things out. And I think that's unfortunate, because I feel like having those pauses, having those breaks, having just a long conversation, you'll tweeze things out that you wouldn't have known otherwise. And so I think having the ability to just sit with you for a couple hours and get to know you, get to look at some of and like a lot of people I see, you had a ton of labs done. Like you brought with you tons. And that's pretty normal for the people I work with. They have search time. I am not the first person that they've gone to for help. and they've searched high. So we already have a partial story, but what's unfortunate about a lot of these labs, like the colonoscopy, they're kind of like CYA labs, right? Like cover your butt labs. They're not labs that give us really meaningful information. They're labs that are going to tell us if you're dying, right? They're labs that are going to, so a doctor can't get in trouble for saying, well, I didn't look for this. I didn't look for cancer. That's what the colonoscopy is for. We looked for cancer. You don't have it. So you're fine.
Exactly.
Well, no, actually you had H. pylori, which is something that's associated with the developmental of cancer, if not treated down the road. But they don't, and I'm so grateful you actually got tested for that because they don't typically do that. But what's interesting about that is you still had H. pylori when we tested. So it wasn't gone. Yeah.
Twice. I did not treat it just once. We treated it twice. And I did a breath test 6 weeks before you and I tested it. And I got cleared. Yes. 6 weeks before you and I tested it.
So that's just really interesting. So I like the way that we get to start. The things that you had going on led us down to the path of doing this test called the GI map. It's a gut stool pathogen test. And it tells us a lot of information about what's living in your gut, both good and opportunistic bacteria. If you have any virulent pathogens, worms, parasites, it can detect even things like Epstein-Barr virus. My favorite piece of this test is it looks at your intestinal health overall. So it gives you kind of a score of your intestinal health. So it looks at pancreatic function, gallbladder function. How are you metabolizing estrogen, which is a clue into hormones? You had in your mind, oh, I need to test my hormones. Oh no, you don't need to.
Yeah.
This gives us a clue on that. It tells us what your inflammation's like, what your immune response is like. Do you have leaky gut? Gives us some really helpful information. And for you, Deanna, it gave us a lot of answers as to why you were going through what you were going through.
Yes, a ton.
So I actually have that pulled up right now. I also wanted to, so if you're comfortable talking about this.
I'm an open book. So okay. If you help someone else.
So another thing that you were working on when we met is you were on Accutane.
Yes.
For just like your face was breaking out. You didn't know, you didn't understand why. It like didn't matter what you did, what products you put on your face.
We're not talking about honor breakouts. It was awful. I mean, painful, cystic, could not cover it up. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah. And the route that you were given, so Accutane is a medication that's really hard on your liver. And kind of, in my mind, it's kind of kicking you while you're down.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to put a pin in that because we'll talk about that more.
Okay.
But looking at your GI map, we discovered something. So you said you were on vacation and you got a UTI. What else happened on that vacation?
My niece got C. diff.
And here we are 2 years later. And what are you positive for?
C. diff A and B.
And what's really unfortunate is you probably had it for a long time.
Yeah.
And it went untested, unchecked. You have the colonoscopy, but that's not going to tell you if you have C. diff. So I think, and you know, this is not to pick on traditional medicine. We all have our limitations. We all have, we're all human.
Absolutely.
But this is something that would have been really easy to test for had somebody listened to your story. Right. If somebody allowed you the opportunity to say, yeah, I got a UTI on that vacation. And also my niece who was with us had C. diff.
Right. The same, both came home and within days, you know, she was positive for C. diff. It was the worst. I've had a couple UTIs, not many, several since then. My body just would not heal it, which makes sense now, but it was awful. It was the worst. The worst things I've ever experienced. That UTI, like I said, if you know, you know, it was awful. So
yeah. So and C. diff is treatable without antibiotics. So what makes C. diff, if you're not familiar with C. diff, it's considered like a super bug because it's really resistant to a lot of antibiotics. So a lot of folks in the hospital have to get like a really expensive type of antibiotic to treat C. diff. And C. diff is very specific. Like I can usually, if I walk into a patient's room and it has a specific smell or their stool is a specific color, and I won't get too graphic here, you know, it's a whiff of the diff, right? That's what we call it.
It's so crazy because I didn't have that, you know, and I know you have like a lot of diarrhea, you know, I never had any of that. Mine was actually the opposite. I could not go to the bathroom for days, times a week. So mine was, you know, I didn't have textbook symptoms for that, which is crazy.
I love that point because I think it's important to not just go based on symptoms. And that's the exact reason, because a lot of different things can cause a symptom. And so if you're chasing after a symptom, you can kind of miss the forest for the trees. So I like to do tests that really look at the bigger picture. And you do have other things in this test that could propagate, you know, constipation. But I thought like that, and you were very high in both of those. It's not like you were just over the border. You were significantly high for both toxin A and B. And then you were also positive for H. pylori, which, I mean, those two things together are just awful, awful.
Crazy.
But I had that moment of relief like you did, like, oh, well, no wonder she feels awful.
I was relieved, you know, thinking back, like I would have been like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. No, I was like, yes, we have answers. I just wanted an answer at that point. I'll never forget like us messaging back and forth, like, I've got some answers. You know, in that first conversation, it was a good one, even though we were getting not so great news. It was kind of good news.
I think it's great news because these are things we can deal with. This is exactly. No doom and gloom diagnosis by any means. And you know, I don't like to throw the kitchen sink at people. So we treated them one at a time. I don't like to do a lot of supplements at once. So I wouldn't want somebody else to go through that either. And you don't want to shock the body. So we kind of went through this order of operations with the gut to clear both the H. pylori and the C. diff out so that you could get back to having just a regular bathroom schedule instead of kind of what you were experiencing.
Exactly.
And to get you to be better able to absorb the nutrition you were eating. And I think that both of those things can play a role in acne. I think both of them can. You also had what we call dysbiosis, which is where you have an imbalance of good and opportunistic bacteria. You were really high in some good bacteria, really low in others. You're really high in a lot of opportunistic gut bacteria. And that's kind of, again, going to play a role in you not feeling great. I'm looking through the rest of this. Oh, yes, yeah. That's right. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. What's that?
So we can't forget the parasite.
You were positive for a parasite. Yes.
Shocker, I think. Thinking back now, I mean, I guess it's easy. You know, anybody can contract. But I was like, what? I think I was more shocked about that than any of it.
Yeah. Parasites will eat your nutrition. Parasites will play a huge role in acne. They cause a lot of gut disturbances. And yeah, you had one. This is a pretty, now if you're listening, this is not your typical GI map test result. Typically
this was intense.
This was intense. Typically you have one or two things going on, but not, I mean, you had one of the most virulent pathogens with C. diff, a parasite, and H. pylori. Those are both really, really tough things to deal with. So, I mean, like kudos to you for dealing with it for as long as you have, because I think those things combined would make anybody feel super anxious. Something's wrong. And it could be even definitely lots of discomfort, but maybe even some pain.
Yeah.
So then we looked, go ahead.
I said, it wasn't fun for sure.
No, but hey, when you get an answer like that and you have a plan in place, like how much relief is, I mean, you got a plan to take care of those things and you know that they're not a part of your future.
Exactly. And that's a good thing. You know, I think we addressed it and did it with ease. We did it without antibiotics. And I don't know, it makes me really hopeful. So if it does happen again, I don't think it would be my reaction that it would have been, you know, before I've experienced it. So I wouldn't trade it for nothing, even though it wasn't fun. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Yeah. And looking at the intestinal health, your immune response was really low, which makes sense because you were probably, my guess is you were dealing with C. diff for probably about 2 years. Don't know how long you had the parasite. I'm not exactly sure how long you had H. pylori either, but when you have a chronic issue like that happening, your secretory IgA can get kind of low because your system's exhausted.
Right.
The other thing that I think is worth noting, so I always add on a test to the GI map called Zonulin, is a test for leaky gut. You were extremely high on leaky gut, extremely high, like more than double what the normal range would be. And so that tells me, again, a lot about your immune system and potentially, and you know, I can't prove this is my own opinion, so just take this with a grain of salt, and I think there's a connection between glyphosate exposure and leaky gut. And I think that I'm trying not to. So you're in this, you live in the Southeast region of the United States, mm-hmm. where a lot of, so Midwest farming practices all drain south through, you know, the Mississippi River, different river systems. And it's just known that we have a more buildup of glyphosate in our water and air down here. So that I kind of, you know, lots of questions there that I don't have answered, but we definitely knew we had to address this leaky gut problem. Otherwise, you were going to continue to go down this road. And you actually, and I didn't mention this, but you had several potential autoimmune triggers marked. You had several of them. And I think that those two things are connected. All right. So I'll close that out. So tell me more about this process. So we've got your results. What was it like going through the process of healing? Because it is a lot longer than, you know, a 2-week antibiotic bout. So can you walk us through like what that experience was like?
I think for me, I will say I was ready. I think that's so important. I think the person has to be at least mentally like, hey, this is going to take a little bit more time. For me, I had done this already for 1.5, 2 years. I'm like, what's a few more months? I can do it. Mm-hmm. I've tried other, you know, ways to do different things and it's not working. So I'm going to go this route. I just felt really good about it. You know, I loved that you did not put me on a whole bunch of supplements. You know, I think maybe some people may think, you know, functional medicine is a whole lot of supplements. Mine was not overwhelming and it's stuff I will continue to do forever. The knowledge that I've gained, I think that's another big piece of it, just the education. Mm. You know, sometimes a blind eye is, you know, just clueless. You know, sometimes I think you just need to educate yourself, be open-minded to try different things and really go all in. And because you mentally, and you really have taught me that, it plays a whole part of it as well. You've got to be in a good mental place. You've got to be committed. And so I was committed. I was all in, you know, within 30, 40 days, I would say, I started feeling better. And I didn't go into all of the symptoms either. There were so many other things that I was experiencing. Those were just some of the high things. Chronic fatigue. That was probably one of the scariest things that I felt. So when I started to be able to make it an entire day and not just completely crash at like 2-3 o'clock. And I wouldn't because of course I'm working. So I couldn't, but every day at like 2 o'clock, I would just want to crash. And so that first day I was like, oh, I've made it a whole day. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you start seeing those positive things and you start seeing the benefits, then you just keep going. For me, mm-hmm. it wasn't hard. It wasn't a difficult thing to do. I knew that I'd made the right decision and I knew that I had the right people in my corner and, mm-hmm. you know, and if we didn't know the answer, then we would figure it out. But I will say something that I loved every time I asked you a question, if I had a concern, like, you know, hey, Steph, I'm feeling like this today. Like, you know, is this not, you had an answer for everything. I don't know if you really realized that, but you did.
Oh, no.
There was never a question that I had through the entire process. You didn't answer or you didn't have an answer or you just weren't super confident and just really made the process for me really easy because I had you. So makes it
expecting that. Thank you. Well, it's interesting. You mentioned that I didn't do a lot of supplements with you. So I'm known for not being a big supplement person. In fact, I debunk a lot of supplements on this podcast, But I feel like you, out of all of my clients, got the most because we had to address, you know, the way you address parasites. And I actually have different protocols for different types of parasites, right? So the way we addressed the parasite was different from the way we addressed H. pylori, which was different from the way I couldn't do a one size fits all. So I split it up doing one thing at a time. But you probably ended up doing more things than a typical person. So it makes me really happy to hear you say that it wasn't overwhelming.
That wasn't overwhelming. So yeah, wasn't a ton of, so I've read some things and I'm like, whew, you know, that's a lot, but, yeah, no, it wasn't at all.
Easy. And my hope for you is that, and so for all of these protocols we did, there was a start and an end date. I was like, you're going to start it on this day. You're going to do this for 60 days. You're going to do this for, you know, however many days. And then you're done.
I mean, every little, you had it all mapped out for me. So I didn't have to question. And if I had a, you know, question, like, should I do this or should I do that? You always answered it for me. So.
Yeah. And I think it's important, like, for listener, for you to know that I don't want you to be on supplements for the rest of your life. That is not my goal. Like, you're going to do something. Like, I hope you take magnesium for the rest of your life because we're all deficient.
Yes, I want to take forever.
but as far as like the treatment protocols that we do, those are not things that you should be doing long-term. I don't think they'd be good for you to be doing long-term. So I just want to make that distinction that there are very few things that I take. And I'm constantly changing my mind about what I take because I'm learning and reading more things, right? So,
and I think that's okay. I think that, yeah. You know, before I did this whole process, I've gone through this journey with you. It was like all or none. Like I have to get it all perfect. You know, I'd line it out. I would put so much pressure on myself. And then you have really taught me that just make subtle changes. You know, it's okay. And then just build up. And so I went to the grocery store yesterday and the lady was checking me out. And this is so random. She was like, wow, you eat so clean. This is what I want. And I'm like, look, and I went, you know, I kind of walked her through it. And I said, don't stress yourself out. I said, it's taken me years to get here. And I said, just make a few changes, just add to it. And that goes back to kind of, you said you're changing things out. That's okay. You're going to find something that may work better, you know, down the road because we have more information on it, or we've just, you know, been introduced to it, and that's okay. Then switch it out. But at least we're making subtle changes along the way.
Yeah. I think that's a really great point. And, you know, along this healing journey, we didn't just talk about, you know, here's the findings and here's what we're going to do to treat it. We talked about other things like, what kind of self-care products are you using? What kind of oil are you cooking with? What kind of pots and pans are you using? What kind of air are you breathing? Are you drinking filtered water, right? Because if you're going to do this holistic approach, you're kind of doing a disservice if you're not addressing all of these other things that play a big role in your health. And so you did those things, you know, swapped things out over time. And my goal is never to be overwhelming because that's not, you're already stressed. Why would I want to make you more stressed? So just when you run out of something, when you're done with that Glad container, recycle it and get a Pyrex, get a glass one, just make it easy on yourself. And so having somebody to kind of guide you through those things too, I think is helpful. I had to read a lot of books to get there. But I totally would have paid somebody to be like, okay, here's what you need. Here's the ingredients you need to steer clear from when you're looking at a foundation, or here's the ingredients you need to steer clear from when you're buying processed foods. And so I think that makes a difference.
Great for that as well. Cause it's like, I'll read something, you'll read something. I can ask you questions or you'll put up a podcast and I'll listen to your podcast. And I'm like, wait a minute, this either, you know, does it make sense because of this I've read? And so we can collaborate on that. Mm-hmm. Or I will completely change my mind because I'm like, wow. And that's okay. You know, yeah. I think it's a process. And so it's just educating yourself and making subtle changes and just doing the best you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've changed my mind. I've gone back and forth on cod liver oil. Is cod liver oil good for you or bad for you? And I've gone back and forth so many times. I was a huge fan of taking vitamin D for a long time. And it took me a year of reading to convince myself because I didn't want D to be bad. I didn't want it. to finally come to terms with, no, I can't justify this anymore. It has to go. And now I need to talk about it because, whoa, what did I learn along the way? You were really hung up on iron and ferritin for a while. And I don't know if you want to talk about that or not.
Yeah, because that was the one thing, like, I was so excited. Like, we have an answer. And then you're like, why are you so hung up on ferritin? And I'm like, and I was like, it's the only answer I have, but maybe she's got a point. I'm always curious. I encourage everybody, always be curious. Don't be stuck in one way or the other. And so for you, it's like, I've completely changed my mind. I canceled 3 iron infusions. It's amazing. You know, I didn't need those. So, and I think
those can make you sicker.
Absolutely. You know, and I thought at one point they were my only chance of survival. I was so sick. I'm like, I'm not going to make it unless I get these iron infusions. What if I don't get them in time? You know, or just thinking, cause I felt so bad. I felt so bad. And, you know, I have been just fine and I haven't had one in a long time. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. So a lot of women are told they're anemic, like you were, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're told you have low iron, usually it's iron deficient anemia is what they call it. Typically that means your iron is just stored in the wrong place because you have all of this mineral dysregulation, this metabolic dysfunction, and you had so much dysfunction in your body that of course iron was in the wrong place. But we have this beautiful system in our body called the reticuloendothelial system. And that system creates 95% of our recommended daily intake for iron. The other 5% is more than easy to get from our diets because our food is processed it's fortified with iron. So the fact that so many people are being told they're anemic, it's like, no, there's a lot of iron dysregulation happening. And then adding more iron to the fuel is not going to solve that problem if you're not storing it in the right place. So, I'm glad you mentioned that too. So tell me, like, where are you today? What are the biggest differences you've seen since, cause you're pretty much almost through this program. I think we're waiting on, a thyroid test.
Yep. Thyroid and our Dutch.
And a Dutch test.
And we waited on those. We pushed those back, you know, just because of everything. Experiencing that would get me a little bit better. And then that way we can get more of a realistic. So I'm so excited to get those results. Actually, test tonight. So you will have that in the mail on Monday. Very excited. So maybe we could do, you know, a follow-up. You know,
yeah, if you're open to that. So I want to say we held off because we did your GI map, I think in October.
And,
so I wanted to hold off on doing this hormone test because I knew if we did it in October, I knew what it was going to say because we had answers to why things were so messed up. The gut, like it was your gut. And so I thought, well, why don't we heal your body, give your body some respite, and then let's test you when you're feeling better, and then we'll have a better snapshot of what your hormones are actually doing. So I also don't like to do a bunch of tests up front when we can find the answers we need with one test, because testing's not cheap. And I want you to get the most out of testing, right? So having tests later on, if we had done a thyroid panel during that time too, when you had C. diff and H. pylori and parasites, it wouldn't have been an accurate panel. I guarantee it. And so I'm glad we're able to do this now where we can see, okay, do you have anything lingering? Do you have anything that we still need to address? Because ideally if your gut is healed, I would hope your hormones would kind of be in line with that.
I think that's a great plan.
But yeah. So tell me, so you told me 2 things that just totally made my day. You told me, I think this was in a text message that you in the last 9 years, you haven't left the house without makeup on or dropped your kids off at school without makeup on.
Yes, never.
And will.
I have struggled. I said the side pain was probably my first symptom. It was actually probably my acne, and I've had it for 8 years consistently. I've had 1 to 3 days where I did not have some sort of a breakout. And oh my gosh, my face has transformed. I still have a little, just a tiny bit. I can't tell you how many days I can get up and take my kids to school and not put on a full face. Unless, of course, you know, like with work and all of that good stuff. Sure. But I get up on my days off and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have to put on makeup and I feel confident. And it just does something to you. It's just so different. I thought that I would have acne forever because I've had it for so long. Mm-hmm. And it just messed with me mentally, you know?
Of course. I've been there myself. I have been there myself. I know what that's like. 100%. It's my goal was to be able to go to the gym without makeup on when I was, you know, in my 20s, and I had that, you know, problem as well. And yeah, it's a total confidence booster, but here's the thing, like that wasn't our main focus. Had so much happening.
That I did not care. I could have cared less if I had acne. I was like, I can't function. Like I need the energy to get up and, you know, be a mom and go to work and do my job and come home and, you know, be able to function. That was my main concern. So yeah, the acne was on the back burner. And, you know, I'd always like touch on it. Like it's important, you know, I would love to be able to address this, but it's not my most important thing. Yeah. So it's just so many things. It's just crazy how, you know, I had all these specialists and just nothing was checked off. I kept adding another specialist and another specialist and another specialist. Mm-hmm. And the cold I had for 10 months straight with no relief, gone. I can breathe. Allergies, you know, my poor husband and my daughter are struggling right now. I'm fine. You know, it's like I have allergies every year. And maybe I will next week, maybe not, but it's a complete game changer for me. You know, so it's just so many different areas, not just one. It's like the total body, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, when you heal, I think when you heal your gut, your face, you know, reflects that. Your skin reflects that. And so I think that that's a beautiful story to be said. Because when you go to a dermatologist, they're not going to treat your gut. They're just going to do topicals or give you spironolactone or something, which spironolactone, side note, is an assumption that you are androgenic. So if you are not androgenic and you take spironolactone, it's not going to do anything for you. But that's like, I think the go-to treatment is spironolactone and maybe some like topical treatment. It's just really interesting how that plays. So another thing you told me is about your energy, that you're playing with your kids and you feel great. Like that is music to my ears, because that's why we do everything, right? That's why you went through all the hard work of taking care of yourself, because you have these three beautiful girls that you need to be there for.
We park. Oh my gosh. You know, last week, I mean, I'd come home from work 3 days in a row. We went to the park. My husband was on a work trip. Working, taking care of the kids, full energy, cooking dinner. Last week was probably, I guess, just because I was by myself. So it was really kind of, you know, brought to light that, wow, I really feel good. You know, we talked about kind of goals, and that was going to the gym. My husband and I have been working out this week, have not been out in 2 years. Have not, just couldn't do it. And not just because not have the energy, the heart palps. Like, oh my, just beat fast. It would scare me. And then it would add additional anxiety. And then it was just a whole ordeal. And so I'm like, okay, not going to do it. And then the shortness of breath, like it just couldn't function. So working out wasn't even an option. So yeah, we've done that this week. Yeah, lots of good stuff. But yeah, the energy, the chronic fatigue, it's so random. And if I have it, it's because I've eaten really bad. You know, I've done something, and that's okay. I'm not, you know, I don't want to encourage people that, hey, if you just make one mistake, you're going to fall off the wagon, because you're not, but I can feel it. I can feel a difference. So it's like when you start noticing certain things, or, you know, you may have answers to why this is happening, then you start noticing certain things. So if I do eat or drink something, you know, maybe I shouldn't have, then, you know, maybe I'll have a little bit of fatigue, but it doesn't last all day, or not to the point to where I have to take a nap or anything like that. So,
yeah, it's cool that when, you know, I think when I met you, and sorry if you can't see me, but I'm going to use like hand gestures, your cup was filled to the brim. So anything, you know, anything could offset you really easily because your cup was already full. But when you kind of detox your body, you know, from the things you have going on, your cup becomes a little bit more empty. So then when you do have, and I am all for food freedom. If you want to have dessert, or you want to go out with girlfriends and grab a drink, that's a quality of life thing. You should be able to do that, but that shouldn't be the tip of your cup. That shouldn't cause your cup to brim over.
Exactly. And that's where I was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh my goodness.
Maybe there's a little bit of anxiety still left too, you know, because I was aware when I was like, I could not eat ice cream. Oh my gosh. No way. Dairy, you can forget it. But goals, maybe one day when I get, it's a process. We've only been doing this since, you know, October. I can't wait to see where I am in a year.
Oh my gosh. You're going to be eating ice cream. 100%. I, you know what? I was the exact same way. I think I told you this. Back in my 20s, if I had ice cream, I would break out the next day. Like that, no question about it. Yep. And now I have dairy every day and I feel great. I don't have any skin issues. I can, whenever we travel, you know, traveling will do that to you too. If you're never eating your healthiest when you're on vacation, let's be real.
Never.
But I don't break out when I'm on vacation anymore. Like I don't, because you know, and it does take time to get there, but you will. You will. Well, is there anything you wanted to share that I didn't ask you about?
I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think symptoms, kind of what we've discovered, solutions, how I feel today, covered it.
Well, I am so in awe of you. You did a lot of hard work. Like this is not a passive activity, right? When you choose to pursue this integrative approach, it's very active and you've always been motivated. You've always been open-minded. You've always been really committed to whatever the plan is. You stick to it like to a T. And I think that speaks a lot about you and your determination to feel better. So if you're listening, I just encourage you to don't settle. If you feel like your doctor's not listening to you, they don't have to be your doctor anymore. They're there to serve you, not the other way around. And if you feel like you're just in this downward spiral and you're not getting answers, keep looking because you'll find them. There's a reason. I mean, I'm a firm believer that your body was beautifully and wonderfully made and is capable of healing. So anyways, thank you so much for being here. I've loved this time. You shared with me things that I didn't know. So that was kind of fun to learn. And yeah, listeners, I hope you took something away from this that you can be inspired to take ownership of your health.
Absolutely.